God's changed all that. He's changed our hearts. He's changed our marriages. He's changed our families. It's been absolutely incredible to see the Lord work. And part of the way that he works, of course, is by us gathering together, opening our Bibles, opening our hearts, opening our ears, and hearing what the Lord has for us. And tonight he has some wonderful things for us to enhance our walk with him, to change our lives. And this is important stuff. I think if there's one area in the church that I think we can put our finger on that really, really, really needs to change, it's the tongue. The tongue in our mouths that is connected to our hearts. Oftentimes people say, "Oh, I don't know where that came from." And I immediately say, "I do. From your heart. Your lips are attached to your heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart." Another thing we'll see here tonight, and I was telling my wife about this today, I remember as a kid, we had these little sayings, and one of the little sayings we had as kids was, "Sticks and stones will break my bones." Anybody ever heard that? "But names will never hurt me." That's majorly wrong. I got news for you. Words are more powerful than someone whacking you with a stone sometimes. Words can devastate. They can cripple a person's life. They can hurt them physically, emotionally. We're talking this week about one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard, Karen Carpenter. She was of the brother and sister group, the Carpenters. Someone told her that she was fat one time. And those words so devastated her, she starved herself to death. How sad. It just shows how powerful words are. We have to be extremely careful with the words that come out of our mouth. And so here we see in the first 12 verses, James speaking to the church. When he opens up with "my brethren," he's not talking to the world. They can't understand spiritual things. He's talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking to the bride of Christ. He's talking to the body of Christ here. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect, a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships, also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and every bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh." Whoa, heavy stuff. But like I said, this is a good thing for the church to hear today. What comes out of our mouth? And you know what? Since this was written by James, with technology, it's not only our words that we have to watch. I'm on Facebook. It just blows me away at times what I see Christians posting on Facebook. The language. With their name on it. Emails I get. things that I see and hear from brothers and sisters in Christ, it shocks me. As you know, there's a little button called snooze on email, sometimes, or on Facebook. Sometimes I got to snooze people for a while. It's like, man. And oftentimes what I'll do is I'll message them on the side and quote the scripture that tells us that let no unfruitful word proceed from your mouth. Whether you speak it or whether you type it or whether you post it, whatever it might be, you're putting your name on it. We have to be very, very careful. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. People are watching our lives. J. Vernon McGee says, the tongue is so evil, that's why God encased it in teeth, so we can bite on it. And so tonight in the Epistle of James, it's written to believers. It's written to challenge us in the area of Christian maturity. We are to be maturing. I don't know how long you folks have been saved, but your life should be different now than it was when you get saved, be it a month ago, a year ago, 100 years ago. We should have matured in all of our lives to a certain degree. It's often been said about the church, many Christians are growing old, but very few are growing up. And there's nothing worse than seeing someone that's been a believer 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're still on the milk of the word. They're still in the fetal position, sucking their thumbs. We need to grow up in God's word. And so in chapter 1, the challenge was being patient and persevering through our trials. We dealt with that in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he told us we are not to be respecters of persons, be they rich or be they poor. We're to treat everyone the same. And we are supposed to show obedience to God's word in our lives, to be doers of your word, and not just hearers deceiving ourselves. Tonight, James's challenge is having power over the tongue. We see here in what we read in the first 12 verses that it says that no man can tame the tongue. And don't we know that? We knew that in our BC days. Warren Wiersbe calls the tongue the world's smallest but largest troublemaker. And it really is. Look at our nation today. Look what has happened to America because of the tongue. Our president's not perfect. I'm not here to deliver a political message tonight, but look what he has had to deal with in 4 years. By wicked, blaspheming tongues. The power of speech is one of the greatest tools that God has given to us. The gift of communication. And I think it's so, so important that we control our words, control our speech, control our tongues. As we know, with tools that we work with, tools can be used for either construction or demolition, such as the case with the tongue. The tongue can be used to build up, or the tongue can be used to tear down. As we're going to see here in chapter 3 tonight with the tongue, we can pray to God, praise God, preach the word. We can evangelize. But also, James tells us, with that same little member, verse 3, one can lie and gossip and curse, ruin a person's reputation, and even cause physical and emotional damage to someone. Words are very, very powerful. We need to choose them carefully. Another lie, like I said, was sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I have been wounded more in my lifetime by words than I have by sticks and stones. Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit. The last one mentioned is self-control. People talk all about the other fruits, peace and love and joy and all those other things that are mentioned, which are excellent, but how about self-control in the life of the believer? It applies to our tongues as well. In verse 8, we're going to see that no man can control the tongue, but the power of the Holy Spirit can. That's the key tonight. What can really change our way of thinking, our hearts, our tongues, everything from head to toe, is the person of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within our lives. If you'd have known me in my BC days, you would not believe the change in my language. Ask my wife after the service. It went from triple X to G, godly. That filthy mouth that I once had is now proclaiming the pure word of God. That's the Lord. Amazing what he can do to someone that surrenders their life to him. The first area in the church with the use of the tongue that James addresses here in verse 1, he's going to touch on those who teach the word. How important is that? If you've been in this fellowship any length of time, over and over and over, you have heard me quote James 3:1 about myself. Not many should teach the word, for they shall receive a stricter judgment. That's pretty heavy. But you know what? I love it. It keeps us in check. Those that teach the word want to make sure that we're on target. It's God's word. We deliver the mail. And to do anything contrary to his word and misrepresent his word, to me, is defamation of character. Yeah, you're defaming the character and the nature of holy God. That's heavy. So look at verse 1. My brethren, the church, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Teaching God's word is a calling. You've heard me say that a million times. It's not a career. Ephesians 4:1 tells us that he himself, God, gave some to be pastors, teachers, and evangelists. It's a gift imparted to those people, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, from God. It's not something we pursue. I didn't pursue ministry. The last thing I ever thought I would be doing in my lifetime was to be a pastor and to preach the word. But as we know, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And oftentimes he takes the most unlikely people and uses them in the most unlikely way. It's not about prestige. It's not about titles. It's not about authority. Those who teach the word, he says here, will receive a stricter judgment. He doesn't say might. You will receive a stricter judgment. That's why when I share God's word, I'm not worried about evaluation by the congregation. I have an audience of one. The one whose approval I want to meet is God's. It's his word. It's not about excellence of speech. It's not about being a polished preacher. It's just about being an open vessel, an open instrument for God to speak through. Teachers represent God with their tongue. That's a heavy one. Yeah. The tongue of the teacher must share God's truth. That's why over and over and over, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. That's why the whole length of time I've been in ministry, it's always been chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept by precept through God's whole Bible. That's what the church needs today. We don't need entertainment. God has not called the pastor to entertain the goats. He's called the pastor to feed the sheep, and there's a difference there. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Read those today. Whatever day of the month it is the proverb I read, and today it was 30. And wasn't it timely? Proverbs 30, verse 5 tells us that every word of God is pure. Isn't that amazing? Every word of God in this book is pure. It's given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. So we don't tamper with it. We don't change it. Every word of God is pure. And Solomon goes on to write, "Do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." And look what's being done in a lot of churches today in the name of Christianity, in the name of sermons. Where I watch certain big name preachers on TV, they take the Bible pledge and then they never open their Bible. We need a re-Bible in America. Much damage can be done. Much damage has been done by false teachers. This is a stern warning. You know, there's a guy that used to be in Washington, but I think he moved on, that was called the cussing pastor. How would you like to be known as the cussing pastor? I'm thinking, did that dude ever read James chapter 3? Man, oh man. Okay, verse 2, I'll get off it. But we all stumble in many things. Amen to that, right? Every single one of us. We all stumble in many things. If anyone doesn't stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. And so we do. We stumble every day. But the good news is, because of Jesus Christ, we get up and we keep moving on. And in many things we stumble. We can learn lessons, can't we? We're not perfect. In many ways, we stumble in many things, but would you say that the sins of our tongues seem to be at the top of the list when we stumble? Those who do not stumble, he says here, with their tongue, are perfect. Now, the original word for perfect here is teleos, means mature, okay? None of us be perfect this side of heaven. But those who do not stumble with their tongue are mature. And let's face it, if we're maturing, if we're growing, if we're moving on in our faith, lots of things are going to be changing, especially the use of our tongue. We need to choose our words carefully. Carefully. You've heard me say a number of times, it's better to be silent and thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. We have to be very careful. Mature. It means to be grown up. It means to be an adult. And he who is mature is also able not only to bridle their tongue, but also their whole body as well. This is the hope that we have as believers. And again, sometimes I read this, and I remember the first time I heard this chapter preached, man, I was squirming all over the place in the pew that day. But you know what? It at the same time gave me hope. It showed me that's the goal. That's one of the many goals that God gives us in his word when he brings us to maturity. We can grow up. We can mature to the point of maturity that our tongue and our bodies are under control. Self-control is an important part of the person of the Holy Spirit. Many of us were out of control in our BC days, but now through the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants us to be under the control of his Spirit. The tongue and the body are connected, aren't they? They really are. Why? Because our words usually lead to deeds. And Jesus said, if you thought it or if you spoke it, you done it. And our thoughts and our words lead to deeds. And our tongue can cause the rest of the body a lot of trouble. Yeah. You can end up with a bloody nose because of your tongue. It can cause your body a lot of trouble, a lot of pain. And James and I'll give us six examples as we move on. Six pictures of the tongue. It's like parables, six parables. Six physical examples of spiritual truths when it comes to the tongue. Number one, verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Imagine, I always think of a Clydesdale when I read this section. Huge, huge horse. Beautiful animal. And even though the bit is just this small piece of metal, it controls the behavior of that huge animal. And it can be turned to the right or to the left. It can be stopped or moved, whatever the situation might be. It controls the behavior of the horse. It overcomes the wild nature of the horse, such as the tongue. The tongue directs us either in a good way or an evil way. The human tongue must be overcome. It must overcome the contrary forces that we deal with. The old nature wants to take control. The old language. Chuck Smith, when I heard him teach a section of Scripture, says we, even as Christians, use little words to kind of substitute for cuss words today. I'm not going to say them because it will put that, that cuss word in your brain. But just think about it. When something happens, we use these little expletives. They're not cuss words, but they almost rhyme. Or even acronyms to these words. We have to be very, very careful. We need to have a whole new way of thinking and speaking. The human tongue causes us to say things that we should not say. Just as the bit must be under a strong hand, Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit must control our tongue. And that can happen. It really can. It's amazing. If we lay ourselves on the altar, if we repent of our sins, if we ask God to change us, if we get into His Word, it's the washing of the Word, the renewing of our mind, the Bible says, that changes us from the inside out. It's an inside job. And once our hearts are cleansed and once our hearts begin to change, our language begins to change. I love that. Solomon, Proverbs 18:21, he says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Wow. I would encourage you to read Proverbs. Whatever day it is, read that day. Because Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue. A lot to say about the tongue. David in Psalm 141:3, I love this. And this has been my prayer a number of times. Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. What a great prayer. The bit can affect the lives of others, can't it? I wonder how many people have been affected by our tongues, our lips, the things that we've spoken. The bit can affect the lives of others. We have to be so careful, especially with our children growing up. If over and over and over and over you tell your child that they're good for nothing, they will grow up to be good for nothing. You have to be so careful, so careful. Those are God's children. They're on loan to us. We're to do the best that we can to disciple them and to love them and to nurture them and to train them in the ways of the Lord. In my household growing up, Jesus wasn't part of our family. And I was discipled with bad language. I mean everybody in the family. And man, what a radical change when Jesus Christ came into my life and into my heart and into our household, into our family. The bit can affect the lives of others. A runaway horse can injure or death innocent people. Just like the tongue. Verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. And so now we go from a bit to a very small rudder. And we know what a rudder is, that little thing on the back of the boat that turns that boat or that ship or whatever the vessel might be. In comparison to the size of a ship, the rudder is extremely small, isn't it? You ever go down to Long Beach or one of these harbors where they have these huge ships and look at the rudders on the back of these huge ships? Amazing. The Queen Elizabeth weighed 84,000 tons. 84,000 tons. And you know what the rudder weighed? 140 tons. That's 0.2% of the total weight of the ship. And that little 0.2% of the weight of that ship turned that ship in whatever direction it went. The rudder controls this massive vessel. Amazing, isn't it? Yet a runaway ship can lead to death. A runaway ship could lead to a shipwreck, Titanic. And again, we cannot misjudge the power of the tongue by its size. It's little, but yet it turns us The tongue turns us in different directions. And like the rudder, it's small and it's hidden, and it can accomplish either good or evil in our lives. Yes, this little thing called the tongue can accomplish either good or evil in our lives. Never underestimate the power and the guidance of your words. Really, really, really. So important. We just finished watching the Hallmark Channel and all these Christmas movies, and of course, It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey, for about the 1,000th time. And for the first time, after all the times I watched It's a Wonderful Life, this time I cried for the first time ever. You know why? Because every single day, practically, I think, you know, what a loser I am and having no impact on anybody's life and all. And it's like, then I looked at George Bailey and what it was like if he wouldn't have been born. And then I thought, what would have happened if I hadn't have been born again? And guess what? My family showed up the next day for Christmas. I looked at my grandkids, and I looked at my daughter and my son-in-law. And my son-in-law wouldn't be my son-in-law if God didn't change me. And I wouldn't have my grandkids. And we wouldn't have gone to Vermont and all these other things. And you know what? We got, asked my wife, and I'm not boasting, but we had Christmas card after Christmas card after Christmas card from people back there that got saved because we took the good news to Vermont. And I began to weep. I thought, you know, Satan's continually trying to tell us, you're worthless, you're useless, man. You haven't impacted anybody. But you know what? It's not about us wanting to impact anybody. You know what? If we'll walk in obedience to God, and if we will conduct ourselves and our tongues in a godly manner, it has an impact on people's lives like we can't even see. Never underestimate the power and the guidance of your words. You remember Jesus? He spoke to one woman at a well. And what happened just by speaking to this one woman at a well and telling her about the living water? A whole town came out and got saved by that one woman. Remember Peter's short sermon at Pentecost? 3,000 people came to salvation by a sermon that you can read in about 2 minutes. Amazing. How important it is, like the bit and like the rudder, that our tongues direct people in the right way, blessing people rather than cursing people. Why? Because when we begin to bless people and minister to people and tell them how much we love them and appreciate them and minister to them, they see Jesus Christ in our lives. And it's Jesus Christ that changes lives. That's why he saved you and saved me, so that we could go out and we could be his mouthpiece wherever we go, so that people could hear the good news. Would you think maybe the world just needs a little bit of good news today instead of fake news? Hello? Verses 5 and 6. We're going to talk about fire now. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Whoa, pretty strong words there from Brother James. But you know what? He hits it right on the head, doesn't he? He hits the nail right on the head. He gives us, with fire, another physical example of a spiritual truth. As we know, just a little spark or a cigarette or a lighted match can set a whole forest on fire. Happens in California all the time. Look at the fires we just got over with over the summer. Man. And fires can cause tremendous devastation. Homes, lives, livestock, people. It can leave behind tremendous devastation. It can leave behind a charred mass of ruins. And what a wonderful example, again, it is of the tongue. Because the tongue also can be like a spark, or a cigarette, or a lighted match. And its potential for devastation is almost limitless. It is amazing the devastation that the tongue can cause, especially in a fellowship of believers. I've seen little things over the years set fire and work its way through the body of Christ. And I often share how Jesus told us to take the gospel to the world, not the gossip. And if the gospel spread as fast as the gossip, the whole world probably be evangelized. But like fire, evil speaking, an evil tongue, defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature, James says, and is set on fire by hell. Man, oh man, look at the damage the tongue can do. All evil speech, he says here, is set on fire by hell. Where does it come from? Satan, the devil, the father of the lie, the accuser of the brethren. And you know what? When you're gossiping about somebody, when you're lying about somebody, guess who you're buying into? The father of the lie and the accuser of the brethren. And how often have you heard a little bit of gossip about somebody and go, oh man. But yet later when you meet that person or find out the truth, you find out, well, that wasn't the story. You ever had that happen? And you find out that person isn't what others said they were. We have to be very, very careful when we read the press releases, if you would. You know what we need to do? We need to go to that person one-on-one and find out the truth. Meet them. Same thing happens in ministry. Over the years, no matter where we are, Vermont, West Covina, wherever we're in ministry, Coachella Valley, how sad it is that disgruntled Christians come through, changing churches, and first thing they tell me outside after the service is, oh man, I'm sure glad to be here because that pastor back there, and then they begin to go, wait a minute here. I don't want to hear that. And guess what? When I finally meet that pastor, it's like, man, this isn't the guy I heard about. But that's the way the church is today. Set on fire by hell. That's why, you know what we did here at Calvary Chapel Palm Desert? We started a monthly pastor's meeting, and I invite all the pastors in the valley to come and have lunch here. All the Bible-believing, born-again pastors, we come, we have lunch right here. We fellowship, we meet with each other, we pray with each other. And we're going, wow, man. I never really knew you, but now I'm finding out, man, you're a great brother in Christ. Churches are not in competition. It shouldn't be that way. We're to complement one another, not compete against one another. And all evil speech is set on fire by hell, because hell is its source. Fire burns and destroys. Words can burn and destroy. Fire spreads. And the more fuel you give it, the faster and further it will spread. And that's what happens with backbiting and gossip and slander. You know what backbiting and gossip and slander is? It is actually murdering someone's character. Yeah, it is murdering their character. Proverbs 30, verse 16. Gee, Proverbs 30 again today. Three things that are never satisfied. You know what one of them is? Fire. Fire never says enough. Fire will never stop until it consumes everything. Not only is a tongue like fire, but it can also be like a dangerous animal. That's our next one. It can be like an unruly animal. Look at verses 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Gee, how's that make your mouth feel tonight? Amazing. Yes, animals can be unruly. You look around in the wild, lions, elephants, tigers, they can be unruly. They seek out their prey, they pounce on it, they kill it. Some animals are venomous, as we see here. Poisonous. You know what venom and poison do? They both work secretly and slowly as it kills its victim. And that's exactly what the tongue can do. It can work sickly. It can work slowly and secretly until it slowly kills its victim, their character, their reputation, whatever it might be. Evil tongues inject poison and venom secretly and slowly, and they do damage, lots of damage, even to the point that God refers to it as venom. Wow. Wow. Animals can be tamed, but the tongue cannot be tamed by man. Here we are, mankind. You go to SeaWorld, they've tamed whales. You go to the zoo, they tamed animals, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. But yet the tongue cannot be tamed by man. The tongue cannot be tamed by man. It can only be tamed by God. How does that happen? First of all, by being saved, by being born again, having the Holy Spirit dwell in your heart, which is the basis for who you really are, and it's connected to your tongue. And through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, our language changes. It is Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that tames our tongue. That's the only way it can happen. I often use Hollywood as an example. Oh, you look at all the beautiful people in Hollywood till they open their mouths. And you go, man, who is in there? We know who's in there in a lot of cases. And not very often does godliness come forth. Only the tongue can be tamed by God. Question here. Is your tongue set on fire by hell? Or is your tongue set on fire by heaven? Don't you love the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and they had tongues of fire over their heads? They were speaking in other languages through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have a choice, whether your tongue is set on fire by hell or whether your tongue is set on fire by heaven, like the book of Acts. And our language changes. Verse 9. With it, with the tongue, we bless our God and Father. Oh, praise you, Father. Oh, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. But look what else he says. And with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or in the image of God. I could spend a whole evening on that verse. John says the same thing. John was the apostle of love. He says, how can we say that we love God and curse man who was made in his image? The same tongue. To use the same tongue to bless God and come to church and stand up and hallelujah, praise the Lord, and do the holy, you know, holy roller thing, and then go right outside the door and blast somebody. You know what? I have a hard time with what's going on in our nation today, because rather than praying for everybody, we're almost taking sides. I pray for Nancy Pelosi as much as I do for Donald Trump, as much as I do for Bernie Sanders, as much as I do for, you lay out the list. I pray for both sides of the aisle because God commands me to do that in his word. And because of what James says here about the tongue, I don't blast politicians. I pray for them. I know it sounds crazy, but you know what? Again, on Facebook, I read some of the posts by Christians, and it's like even filthy language and filthy pictures of politicians and people. And I'm going, man, they need to read James chapter 3. We need to be very, very careful. Because the Bible says that we are to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, do good to those who despitefully use us, and pray for them. Yeah, that's not a suggestion. That's red letters from Jesus Christ. And you know what? The best way to see this nation turned around is not to blast people. It's to ask God to bless them by saving their souls. Are you any more worthy of being saved than Pelosi or Biden or anybody else? No. God doesn't grade on a curve. We have all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And we all are worthy of hell. And we forget that sometimes. Be very, very careful what you buy into. Pray for this nation. Pray for our country. Because America does not need to be great again. America needs to be born again. And there's a difference there. Because this nation was born and founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's only one way that we're ever going to be back to the way it used to be is through revival. And the more people curse one another and blast one another, devour one another, and spew that venom at one another. That's what's going on television, news. They are spewing venom at one another. And that bothers me. I'm not going to buy into it. I'm going to spend time on my knees praying for my president, vice president, the whole nation. First of all, for their souls. And many people don't know that Donald Trump is born again. Dr. James Dobson led him to Jesus Christ. He's immature. He needs to grow like the rest of us. He's imperfect. But he has given his... Did you hear his Christmas speech? He's born again. He just hasn't been discipled. But pray for him. He's given his heart to Christ. He's not perfect just like you and I. We're imperfect. But I think the day we begin to pray for these people and quit spewing venom at these people, things just might change. With it, we bless our God and Father. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. And with it, we curse men. How the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing? My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Praise God, it doesn't. When you turn on the spout at home, on the water faucet, fresh water comes out. Praise God. Not bitter water or salty water or polluted water. And the same thing should be true of our mouth. If you open your mouth, what comes out? Fresh water? Or bitter water? It shows who you are. It shows who I am by what comes out of our mouth. Are you bitter? Are you angry? Are you venomous towards people? Or do pure words come out of your mouth? This is a challenge. I need to be reminded. Am I perfect? No. Do I fail? Yes. Does bitter water come out of my mouth still every once in a while? But man, I'll tell you what, I try to shut that faucet off as soon as I can. It's important to choose every word carefully. You know why? Check this out. Scripture tells us that one day you and I will be judged for every idle word that we speak. Hello? You and I will be judged for every idle word that we speak. That's heavy. We have to choose our words carefully. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. I know we look at that and it sounds ridiculous. Come on, how could they both be in the same faucet? But that's what the Lord is showing us here. Both of them can't come out of the same spigot. Both can't come out of the same spring. Both can't come out of the same faucet. Verse 13. And we'll wind it down. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And again, these are things that affect our tongue. These are things that affect our behavior, our character. These are things that need to be changed so that we can have self-control. The Bible says we deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And guess what? Verse 15, earthly, that's the world. Sensual, that's the flesh. The devil, that's demonic. How interesting. Do you follow earthly, worldly wisdom? Or do you follow the wisdom from this book? This is godly wisdom. There's a lot of worldly wisdom out there. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What was it that Satan said to Eve? Oh, you partake of the fruit, and you shall be wise. You shall be as God. Hello? Yeah. Grandma, what big eyes you have. We have to be very, very careful. There is worldly wisdom. There is godly wisdom. There is worldly knowledge. There is godly knowledge. We have to be really, really careful. Who's wise and understanding among you? We need to show it. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And so true, our conduct shows where our wisdom and our knowledge and our insight come from. And I tell you what, this incredible book gives us all that pertains to life and godliness. Anything you need to know about life, anything you need to know about godliness is right here in this incredible book, and it's up to us if we're going to glean godly wisdom, if we're going to glean godly knowledge. And what it does is it produces meekness, humility within our lives. But if we have bitter envy and self-seeking in our hearts, and look, that's the way the world is today. Bitter, envious. It's all about self, self-seeking, selfish, selfies. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. We have to be very careful what we are influenced by. So many people think that Google is the gospel. They think if they Google something, it's going to come up 100% true. No, this is 100% true. The Bible. Get into God's Word. A lot of people think, well, you know what? I think I'll just ask Alexia. Is that her name? Alexia. You know, initially when Alexia came out, if you asked her who Jesus Christ was, she would say, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And guess what? They changed it. Yeah. Check it out for yourself. I don't have Alexia in my house. Alexis, or whatever her name. I don't care what her name is. It just shows she ain't in my house. Jesus Christ is in my house. His Word is in my house. His Word is in my heart. And we need wisdom. And there's a lot of demonic wisdom out there. Look what's going on in America today. Again, we're calling good evil and evil good. Would you say that's true? Like never before? Over the past 5 or 10 years, we're calling things good now that were evil, that God says are evil, they're right, blatant sin. And we've legalized them, and so people think, okay, I can do it because we've changed the law. No, God's Word is always the same yesterday, today, forever, it never changes. The other day on Facebook, somebody posted that a Thanksgiving dinner got raided. There were 12 people in the house. They were all smoking pot. But the reason they got raided was because they had more than 5 people. There wasn't the pot. Imagine. Look how far we've come. And I'm not going to lay out a list of things that are perverted that we've approved of in America today. A nation that says on its currency, one nation under God. We have a major problem, and it's sin. That's the bottom line. And one of the major problems is the pulpit today. Many pastors are not preaching against sin. It's all about feeling good about yourself. Prosperity. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, confess it and possess it. That is not the gospel. My gospel tells me that I'm to deny myself daily, pick up my cross and follow him. And you know what? There's no better place to be, is there? We live a crucified life. Guess what happens? Man, you're the lowest rung on the totem pole. You're a servant, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, but there's no better place to be. There is no better place to be than serving Jesus Christ and walking with Jesus Christ. That's where all the joy and the peace and the love and all the self-control and everything comes from. It comes from living a crucified life, but we don't hear that much anymore. A lot of churches have taken the cross down. We don't want to offend anybody. Huh. They're calling themselves seeker-friendly churches. Why would you want to have a seeker-friendly church when the Bible says, none seek after God? Hello? That's crazy. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Folks, we've arrived. But here's the good news, and we'll close with these last two verses. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And what did I say about Proverbs 30, verse 5? Is that every word of God is pure. And whenever we get into God's Word, the Bible, we are getting into His pure Word. It's pure, it's holy, it's unadulterated, it's absolutely perfect. That's one of the many things I love about what God allows me to do. I get to deliver the mail, the perfect word to his people. It's pure. Why would we ever want to deviate? These are the words of eternal life. These are the words that change the hearts and the minds and the souls of people. The words of eternal life. Why would you want to give the people anything else? The word, the wisdom from above is first pure. Then it's peaceable. What does that mean? When you hear the pure word of God, when you're born again, guess what? You have peace with God now. Have you noticed, even with what's going on in our world today, a coronavirus and all the stuff going on, Christians have peace. Do you have peace? I got peace. It is amazing. I almost feel guilty sometimes. I got peace and I look around, everybody's falling apart. And I try to encourage them. You should have peace that surpasses all understanding. God has this. You have an appointment with God. Jesus has gone to heaven to prepare a place for you that where he is, that you will be also. And when the place is done, you're going to be there. Coronavirus or not. Corona bologna or not, man. You could choke on a chicken bone. But the wisdom from above is pure than peaceable. It's gentle. Willing to yield. You know what that means? That means we're not aggressive as believers. We're willing to yield, be peacemakers. That's so important in our lives. Full of mercy. Are you full of mercy in your life? Are you merciful to people outside the church, to sinners? We have received grace and mercy. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. We need to be merciful for people. Because Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians says, but such were some of you. We were in their shoes. So why should we be legalistic with them when God has poured out his grace and mercy on us? We need to pour out God's grace and mercy on them. We need to point them to Jesus Christ. Full of mercy and good fruits. What are the fruits? Galatians 5. Love, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. All these wonderful things that come with having God's wisdom and God's knowledge. And controlling our tongue. Without partiality. We have to be very, very careful. We need to be impartial. We're not to be respecter of persons. We're to love everybody the same. We really are. God's not a respecter of persons. God loves us all the same enough to send his son into this world to die for us on the cross. Without hypocrisy. That's important as well. Don't be a hypocrite. The term hypocrite means to be a play actor on the stage of life. We don't have to play religious. One of the first things I noticed that I really, really loved when I became born again, when I became saved, I could now be real. I didn't have to follow the crowd. I didn't have to follow the world. I didn't have to do what they did, dress like they do. You know, I can now rest in the Lord. I can now enjoy his grace, his love and mercy. I can now just be who God has created me to be. I don't have to impress anybody, and neither do you. We don't need to be hypocrites, play actors, phonies. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And again, how do we sow the fruit of righteousness? One of the ways we do that is by the words that come out of our mouths. Let your speech be fruitful. Let your speech be edifying. That same tongue that you bless God with and bless the Lord with, bless other people with it. And you know what's going to happen? Your life will be radically changed and so will theirs. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you call it like it is. You love us so much. But there are times, Lord, you cause us to squirm a little bit. But it's because you love us. And it's because you know us from the inside out. It's because you want us to change so that we can be blessed and so that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Would you do that, please? Lord, what we've learned tonight, help us to walk it out. I pray this just wasn't another Bible study tonight, Lord. I pray that this would change each and every one of us in this room in a positive way. Lord, that we would bless you and bless others. that our speech would change. Would you do that, please? Only you can do it through your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.